You're tuned to WFHB
91.3
and 98.1 FM.
Volunteer powered,
listener supported.
Community radio for South Central Indiana.
Welcome to WFHB's Daily Local News.
Written and produced entirely by volunteers from the Bloomington community.
And supported by the generosity of listeners like you.
Good afternoon from the studios of Community Radio 91.3 FM. Reporting live for WFHB, this is Leah Carter.
And I'm Don Guerra. This is the Daily Local News for Tuesday, November 8th, 2016.
If they hadn't have done what they'd done, I couldn't write what I write. You know, they had to do something that I felt was needed the attention of the local community.
The signs in a man's yard have provoked a First Amendment battle in Bedford. More on that later in the show, but first, these local headlines.
More than 25,000 Monroe County residents have cast ballots today in the 2016 general election. That's according to figures provided at 4:15 p.m. by the Monroe County Clerk's Office. Although the final count won't be known until later this evening, Clerk Nicole Brown suggested in an email that it could be a, quote, record turnout, unquote. The polls close at 6 p.m. in Indiana. Prior to Election Day, about 30,000 Monroe County residents had already cast early votes. One of the most active polling locations today was St. John's Catholic Church, just southeast of Ellettsville. By this morning at 11:15 a.m., more than 1,100 people had already voted there. WFHB News Director Joe Crawford visited that polling site and spoke with voters there.
Well, I'm very conservative, but I don't like the conservative candidate. So I've had a really hard time with this, really hard.
Do you mind telling me how you decided to vote in the presidential election?
I don't know. Because I'm very conservative, but I didn't vote conservative this year, if that tells you. I voted liberal, and I'm kind of concerned about that. So
I got very involved this year. I watched all the debates and everything, even the Saturday Night Live versions, which actually helped. No.
Were there any specific issues or candidates that you liked or didn't like?
I was very opposed to Trump. I like Hillary. I was probably more pro-Obama, but he endorsed her and had all good things to say, and I actually, after following the debates, I was very much in favor of her.
Anything specific in favor of Hillary Clinton or in opposition to Donald Trump?
In opposition to Trump, the bigotry, the self-absorption, the attitude, just the general, in my opinion, ignorance.
I was more concerned about the local elections, the top-of-the-ticket system, so I just voted Libertarian. Yeah, I think Libertarians need to at least get 5% turnout so they can get on the ballots in the future and get some federal money to maybe they can get better candidates, too. Yeah.
What local races were you interested in?
The treasurer and auditor. We had a bunch of crooks in there, so I'm trying to find a better solution.
What did you think was the solution there? Who did you like in those races?
Republicans. It's our money. They should be responsible for it, you know, and they're not. And I can understand maybe it's the first time somebody get caught, but after that, there's no excuse for the same thing.
Okay, I'm a tried and true Democrat, but I voted for two Republicans. Do you want me to name names?
Sure.
I won't.
But two Republicans in the presidential races, you mean?
No. In the locals, there was no doubt in my mind on the presidential business. I've been planning to vote for Hillary for 9 years.
What do you like about Hillary Clinton?
She's a woman. She's a Democrat, and she's very experienced. She'll make a wonderful president. I hope she makes it.
Do you pay attention to, like, county offices, that sort of thing?
Oh, yes. I live in the county. So, yes, I think I got the right people on that one, too.
Okay. And that's the one you're not talking about.
That's right.
That was audio recorded at St. John's Catholic Church, one of Monroe County's busiest polling locations. The church is located between Ellettsville and Bloomington, just off State Road 46.
Voters at St. John's generally expressed more conservative views than the voters we spoke to in Bloomington. The following is audio collected this morning at the First Church of the Nazarene on West Howe Street.
Why is it that you came out here to vote today?
It's the presidential election. I think there are some important things that are going on in our country right now, and the outcome of this election is particularly important if we're going to come together as a nation. It's ironic that it's going to take an election for us to come together, but I do think that there's a lot of cultural rhetoric that has the potential to kind of tear us apart, and so we need to vote. Make sure that things start going in the right direction, hopefully.
Are there specific candidates or issues that you were particularly concerned with?
I felt particularly compelled to vote for the Democratic Party today. I think there's a good chance that one could give the Republican candidate the benefit of the doubt and assume that this is all just a political play to kind of garner votes, but I don't think there's a place for the type of violence and disruptive language that is used in our public policy. I think that it sends a bad message to the world as well as to the country. And it's important for us, my family being immigrants, I think it's important for the rest of the world to see us as a politically correct country, because that's one of the things that we stand for as we make an impact on the rest of the world as well, so that we can promote equality and unity among all people. And so for that reason, I think it's pretty important that our leaders represent that.
I've never voted before, so it's kind of exciting exercising this right. I want to get a Democrat in there. Last time I was 18 when I could last vote, and I really didn't know anything about the presidential candidates at that time, so I just figured not to.
Is there a candidate or candidates or issues that inspired you to come out here today?
Just Donald Trump being a presidential candidate. Honestly, he's kind of scary. I mean, as a woman, some of his comments are just terrifying.
Can you just tell me why you're out here today?
Out here to vote for Hillary Clinton. I feel like Trump has said a lot of racist things, a lot of demeaning things towards minorities, towards women. Me, myself, I'm concerned for me, my family, my mother. I was born a Hoosier. My parents, they came here 40 years ago. This is our home, so I don't want someone who normalizes stereotyping, racism, things like that. I don't want him to make it harder for us to live in our home.
Are there other specific issues about either the candidates? I mean, you've talked about one. Are there any other right. specific issues that you're interested in?
Well, you know, also, like, even if that was not the issue, like, Hillary Clinton is very qualified. Two investigations have shown that her emails were not criminal, so that's not really an issue. She's very qualified. She was Secretary of State. She knows how politics works. Trump does not know how politics works. He's never been a politician. He's been a businessman, which does not necessarily qualify you for other jobs. Besides that, if you listen to both of their speeches, Hillary Clinton has policies, she has ideas for the government. Trump has talking points.
So can you just tell me what brought you out to vote today?
Sure. I mean, I think especially in this election this year, it's extremely important that everybody has their input and they take advantage of the fact that they have a voice.
Are there specific issues that you were interested in?
Mainly the presidential election. I mean, that's the main reason that I came out here, and I think probably for a lot of people, other people as well. And I think that having Donald Trump as a president would be the absolute downfall of freedom, rights. I definitely feel like I have a very specific reason for coming out.
This is my first election that I get to vote in, and I know a lot of people in this election aren't voting because they don't like any of the candidates, but a lot of people, especially like as a woman, fought for my right to vote, so I'm going to take advantage of it.
Are there specific issues that you're interested in?
Very big on the equal treatment of those who belong to the LGBTQ community. That's really important to me.
Are there candidates that motivated you to come out here in one way or the other, people you liked or didn't like?
I've always been a fan of Hillary ever since she ran against Obama. I probably would have voted for her if I would have been able to vote, but this is my chance to vote for her.
I assume you did vote today, or you're going to vote today?
I voted already.
You voted already?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you just tell me what, you know, what issues you're particularly interested in?
the local issues. I just want someone that's going to represent me in every aspect of my life, culturally, educationally, and politically, of course. And with the referendum for MCCSC, it's been very important to keep programs going that we already have in place. I've seen the benefit of it, and if we do not have it, then things are going to disappear that we've been used to that are helping our students to be the top and our corporation to be the best.
Those were voters speaking this morning outside the First Church of the Nazarene, a polling site located on West Howe Street. Stay tuned to WFHB this evening for more election coverage. We will bring you up-to-the-minute results and live interviews until 11 p.m.
Democratic congressional candidate Shelley Yoder is accusing her Republican opponent of using an illegal robocall today. Yoder is running against Republican Trey Hollingsworth as well as Libertarian Russell Brooksbank. In a statement sent today at 4:10 p.m., Yoder claimed that Hollingsworth's father, Joe Hollingsworth, paid for a robocall on behalf of the Republican candidate. One of those robocall messages was sent to a member of the WFHB news staff. This is a portion of that message.
Trey Hollingsworth is a small businessman who's created jobs here in Indiana. He's a conservative political outsider who will carry our Hoosier values to Washington. Indiana Jobs Now PAC is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. IndianaJobsNow.com. Paid for by Indiana Jobs Now PAC.
Indiana Jobs Now is a political action committee to which Joe Hollingsworth has been the sole contributor since 2015. In her statement this afternoon, Yoder said, quote, "This is a matter worthy of review by Indiana's top law enforcement officer," unquote.
A plan to build a new office for the Richland Township Trustee narrowly passed the Ellettsville Plan Commission in their meeting last week. Ellettsville Planning Director Kevin Talutti said the trustee's current office sits in a floodplain.
The current office is located on Park Street, right below our building, or our office, and is located within a floodway and tends to flood, it seems like, about once a year lately. And they're kind of tired of it, so they'd like to build a new office, still on Park Street, but back on the higher part above one of the baseball fields.
The trustee's new 2,600-square-foot office building will be located at the intersection of South Park and East Ritter Streets and will include the township's food bank. Talutti said a use variance had already been granted for the office to be built in a residential district. Area resident Mike Farris, who lives on South Park Street, complained the new office will contribute congestion in the area.
We live right there, and every time there's a ball game, festival, any kind of special event, that whole area is just packed with vehicles, all up and down the road, both sides. They don't care about the no parking signs, they park right under them. Now you're going to take away this big lot. That means they're going to be driving down my street, parking on my street, blocking my roadways. Now, I mean, I'm all for improving and everything else, but I think you're putting in a bad spot. It's already pretty congested there when there's a game, or three games, or four games.
Commission member Brian Mobley and clerk treasurer Sandra Hash initiated a discussion about the project's bond financing.
Do you know the amount of his bond, what he's applying for?
The total project cost of that was $483,000.
Is that's a bond issue?
I understand that. No, the bond's probably a little bit more than that.
Yeah. Okay. Does that bond, I guess, if you know?
I think it's going to be outside the levy, but it'll still affect the circuit breakers.
Okay. And that will affect all the citizens in Ellettsville and Richland Township?
Yes, sir.
So everybody's going to get taxed again.
Yes.
Okay.
Except for the people that are at the circuit breaker.
Yeah, except for the circuit breakers.
Mobley and Brown discussed the proposition of giving the trustee office space in Ellettsville's new town hall, which is currently under construction.
I know at one time we had a discussion, someone was bringing it up that to the trustee, and I don't know if it went, how far it went, that we are offering to offer them some land up at their new town hall center.
I personally asked him, I think a lot of people have, but I personally asked him when we purchased the land if he had any interest at all moving up there with us. I said, I'm sure the town would work you out a really good deal. We'd love to get like a government complex, have everything together. And he said that his the people he services are more to the east side of town, and he felt that he was centrally located to what the people who needed him were, and he felt like that being on the west side would not, it was just too far into the west part of his township to be a good match for him.
Commission member Brian Mobley said the township's failure to pay the town of Ellettsville for fire department coverage contributed to his disapproval of the development plan.
I have a problem with the trustee going ahead with this when he can't fulfill his contract for fire district for us. So that's the issue that I have. If he can't afford paying his bill to us for our contract, then he's buying land and he's building a building. I know it comes out of a separate bond, but that's, for me as an official, that's what I have to look at.
Commission members Kevin Farris, Brian Mobley, and Pat Wesolowski voted against the plan. Commission members Terry Baker, Don Calvert, and David Drake voted for the plan. In the case of a tie vote, Clerk Treasurer Sandra Hash can vote to break the tie. Hash voted in support of the plan. Reporting live for WFHB, I'm Don Guerra.
And I'm Leah Carter. The signs in Sam Shaw's yard included messages like, quote, I seek truth, and, quote, over the hump with Trump. Now the Bedford man is fighting for his right to display the signs after the city of Bedford took issue. I spoke with Shaw, as well as an attorney for the ACLU of Indiana, for this WFHB community report. The American Civil Liberties Union of Indiana filed a lawsuit against the city of Bedford on behalf of a Bedford resident, Samuel Shaw. Sam Shaw is challenging the Bedford Planning and Zoning Committee's attempts to limit his yard signage. Shaw had several homemade political signs in his yard and received a letter from Bedford's Planning and Zoning Director informing him that his signs were in violation of the newly implemented City Sign Ordinance. The ordinance limits the number of signs which a resident can have in their yard and the length of time which they can display those signs for. Jan Mensch, a staff attorney at the ACLU of Indiana, said that sign ordinances are generally implemented for aesthetic or safety reasons, although he could not speak to the specific reasons why the new ordinances in Bedford were implemented. He also said that some similar types of ordinances have been deemed unconstitutional in other parts of the country.
Well, there was a Supreme Court case last year involving a somewhat similar ordinance that had categories of signs and regulations based on what type of sign it was. So if it was a political sign or what they deemed to be an ideological sign, that would get different regulations depending on what the sign was used for and the message it sought to convey.
Okay.
And the Supreme Court found that that ordinance was unconstitutional. So what happened was a lot of municipalities went back and revisited their sign ordinances. And it does appear Bedford attempted to do that here, but we don't think they fixed the problem. So Mr. Shaw is a resident of Bedford, and he conveys political and ideological beliefs by posting signs. He's done that for years, and this sign ordinance impedes his ability to do that. And after looking at the sign ordinance, once he brought it to our attention, we viewed it as being unconstitutional. The sort of most egregious portion of the sign ordinance is that it limits residents to only posting one sign on their property and one sign the size of a sheet of paper in their window. And, you know, particularly in election year, we think that's not a reasonable restriction under the First Amendment.
Sam Shaw, who has had his signs up for 20 years, believes that the sign ordinance in Bedford was made specifically to target his signs.
Basically, the sign ordinance in Bedford was just made because of Sam Shaw. There's no one else in the city of Bedford been sued.
He says that he took the signs down last month to avoid paying the penalty for the sign violations, which is $300 per day.
Basically, he just said the new sign ordinance is in effect and given. I think I got it on the, somewhere first of the month. Give me till the 18th of October to have all signs removed. And that was done. And then before the 18th, on 19th day of October, there was not the first sign in my yard.
Sam also said that he changes his signs according to his changing beliefs. He also uses the signs to express his opinions, which the local news won't publish.
Sign would be changed periodically, you know. Maybe it just depends on what the situation was. The coming event, I've made signs about memory. I've had signs about happy birthday. I've had a lot of signs that pertain to something coming forth. You got your news media. They only print what they want to print. You know, I've voiced my opinion through the opinion column of the Times Mail period all the time. And you know, maybe I'll get at least one out of four, maybe even greater, will be turned down. You know, they won't publish them. The things I put out there on a sign would never be published in the Times Mail. They wouldn't even be published if I paid for them. Well, the best way to sign about the signs is just remember this: whoever, if there would be a sign about an individual, you know, or if they hadn't have done what they'd done, I couldn't write what I write. You know, they had to do something that I felt was needed the attention of the local community.
Although Sam can no longer display his signs, he still has a truck which he uses to drive his signs around. If Sam Shaw's written speech is limited, he says he'll just use a megaphone instead.
Now, not only do I use the signs in my yard, I've got a truck that I've built just to put signs on my truck and drive around town, go to certain meetings. I stand in front of places with a billboard. I've exercising my freedom of speech for years in more than one different way. But the thing now I'll probably have to do, according to how the, you know, according to the what's resolved, I've always used written freedom of speech, but I'm entitled to verbal freedom of speech. I've got a megaphone if I want to start using it. I've just been discreet about doing that, you know, but it's my First Amendment right.
That was local resident Sam Shaw speaking about a lawsuit challenging the City of Bedford's sign ordinance. The case, Samuel Shaw versus the City of Bedford, Indiana, was filed in U.S. District Court on October 31st.
Support for WFHB and the Daily Local News comes from Smithville Fiber, a local provider of internet voice and TV service, now also offering home automation and security systems for homes and offices throughout South Central Indiana. More information on Smithville's home automation service is available at smithvillesecurity.com.
Support also comes from Growing Opportunities, a social business project of the South Central Community Action Program. Growing Opportunities is an urban hydroponic farm that provides job training opportunities for low-income people with barriers to employment, especially people with disabilities. They grow produce that is sold to local eateries, supermarkets, hospitals, and schools. Information is available at 812-332-2168 or online at insccap.org.
You've been listening to the Daily Local News on WFHB. Today's headlines were written by Joe Crawford, along with Sarah Vaughn for Cats Week, a partnership with Community Access Television Services. Our feature was produced by Leah Carter.
The Ins and Outs of Money is produced by Ryan Stacey and associate producer Christina Wiltsey. It's part of the It's Your Money project at Monroe County Public Library. Our engineer is Rob Schoon. Our theme music is provided by The Impossible Shapes. Executive producer is Joe Crawford. For WFHB, I'm Leah Carter.
And I'm Don Guerra. Thanks for supporting Indiana's only volunteer-powered, listener-supported independent daily news program. You can hear tonight's full broadcast as well as all other WFHB news programming online at WFHB.com. ellisville.org.
You can be a part of our award-winning news team. For more information about joining our volunteer team of citizen journalists, email news@wfhb.org.
If you use iTunes, you can have this show delivered directly to you. Just go to the iTunes store, search for WFHB Daily Local News, and subscribe to our podcast.
Stay tuned for Interchange, Bloomington Community Radio's longest-running public affairs program, coming up next on WFHB. The Daily Local News is produced by a staff of over 50 volunteers
working in the WFHB News and Public Affairs Department.
Comments, suggestions, and story ideas
may be submitted directly to our news staff via email.
The address is news@wfhb.org.